The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour One Podcast.
And we welcome you to another day. So glad you're here in the middle of the week and a lot to dig up. But we have a huge college basketball game tonight between Alabama and Arkansas, and we will go out to Fayetteville here in a couple of moments. We will look ahead to some other games as well this afternoon. Let's begin with a story that we were discussing here yesterday, and Ross Bjork was on the program letting us know that things were about to change. Ross Bjork telling us that there could be full stadiums back at Kyle Field.
We expect to have full stadiums. We expect to have full experiences. There was a study that was done, you probably saw it in the last couple of days, about NFL and NCAA games, that games did not lead to spreading events within counties and communities. So there's a lot of good data that tells us that we can host these games safely. There may be protocols in place. We may be wearing face masks and face coverings, but we want full stadiums. Our fans expect that. We want the Aggie band back on the field, all those things that go with it. That's how we're moving forward, and that's the mindset as we sit here today.
So Ross Bjork yesterday, and I think a lot of people agree with him around college athletics. Meanwhile, Vanderbilt in the news, starters returning from opt-outs for extra season. The Vanderbilt program has been through a rough time, had some good moments this year, played a really good game against the Tide the other day. Meanwhile, we mentioned it, big-time game tonight. It seems like the 90s at Bud Walton, as Alabama and Arkansas, two ranked teams, the first time in forever. And it is a huge game, a late game tonight, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 local. And we'll talk about it in just a few minutes with Josh Bertaccini. Meanwhile, like Devontae Smith, Alabama's Herb Jones shows that character counts. Remember, we had Herb on the other day. Fantastic conversation. It did remind us of a similar conversation we had about 2 months ago with Devontae Smith. And it is a really, really big game tonight, Arkansas and Alabama, one of the bigger games. I don't know, you could say perhaps, I mean, I thought the Alabama-Missouri game a couple weeks ago seemed like the biggest game of the year. This one is certainly going to rival that as we get ready for the college basketball night. I mentioned Josh Bertaccini. He will join us in a couple of minutes. He is, of course, the host of the Red Zone with JB on our very prominent affiliate out there in Northwest Arkansas. Jack Swarbrick, the AD of Notre Dame, he'll be with us. He was in the news yesterday about the EA Sports situation. We'll ask him about NIL and will Notre Dame ever get into the ACC after playing a college football season. Mel Kiper a little bit later on the draft. It's not that far away. And Mike Morgan, regular here from the SEC Network. He'll be doing a game tonight, and we'll talk about the whole SEC situation, including the big game tonight. Your phone calls are welcome now at 855-242-7285. When we came on the air yesterday at this point, we were not sure what it looked like for Tiger Woods. What type of shape he would be in? It was a critical situation. It's still very critical, but there are certainly more encouraging signs. The Sheriff's Department in LA just reported that it was an accident. It was not caused by anything other than just things that cause accidents on roadways. And Tiger has serious issues. He had a shattered ankle, a couple of compound fractures, which is very serious if you've ever had one. It's when the break goes through the bone. It's complicated and needs surgery. And he is recuperating, and it will be some time before anyone really knows what is next for him, especially just trying to be able to walk around is going to be the first step. Golf will have to wait if it comes at all. 855-242-7285, that is our number. We appreciate yesterday with the Tiger news. It definitely cast a pall over everything else that we had scheduled. And in all honesty, we were just a bit jumpy here with that news breaking as we came on the air. But appreciate all of your patience and continue to send him good thoughts. So let's get to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Pat starts us off in Georgia. Pat.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking
And Pat, before you say another, hey, Pat, if I could interrupt, before you say another word, I owe you an apology, and it bothered me all night. I was just talking about you without mentioning your name. I was really, to say the least, jittery when we were talking about Tiger. At the time, I didn't even know he would survive, so I apologize for being as cantankerous as I was here yesterday.
I accept your apologies. No problems, Paul. We got news today. I'm optimistic about football season. My wife and I got news. We have an appointment at 12 noon on March the 9th to get our COVID vaccination.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And we're going. I think that stadiums, football, and other arenas, by this fall, if not before, I think they're going to be full. I agree. We are going to be back.
Totally agree with you.
Let me talk about Tiger for a minute. I'm a big fan of Ben Hogan. I've read a number of books. I know all about his career.
Sure.
It was Hogan's left leg. It's Tiger's right leg. And, of course, times are different now. He may be able to play golf again. I hope so. The only point, and I do appreciate your point of view, I do, Tiger had to play golf a long time in order to be the greatest golfer of all time by eclipsing Jack Nicklaus's 18 majors. He's got 15 right now. He could get three more, but he just had to play golf at that top competitive level long enough. That was the only point I was making yesterday.
Well, Pat, I appreciate that, and I don't think he'll get there. I mean, I hope he plays. I hope he swings a club again. He is. I am not trying to be a doctor here, but I can tell you based on what I've read and nothing that you couldn't read or anybody couldn't read. This is a serious recovery. Now, Ben Hogan was hit by I think it was either a truck or a train. I can't remember which one it was.
He had a head-on collision with a Greyhound bus.
Right. Okay.
And
bus.
And it fractured his left leg.
Right.
He was never supposed to walk again, let alone play golf.
And he came back and won the U.S. Open.
He did. And I believe he won it at Riviera.
Yeah, I think you're right. The problem, Pat, though, is, you know, Tiger, we weren't really sure Tiger was going to be that competitive in the near future because of the you know, he's had four or five back surgeries. And I'm just trying to think, the issues I've had with my back did cause me to stop playing golf, which was good for the golf course. But frankly, it wasn't that big a deal. It's the same thing a lot of people deal with herniated discs. I cannot imagine on top of what I dealt with to then have to rehabilitate my leg completely. And he is 45 years old. He can certainly get back in reasonably good shape again, but to play at the level that you need to play to beat the Justin Thomases of the world, I'm not sure he can do it.
Well, maybe not. If anyone could do it, Tiger could. And one other thing, I believe Mr. Hogan was 36 and Tiger is 45.
Yeah, and I another thing too, what he did a couple of years ago at Augusta, you know, I think will be his signature moment. And he could top it, you're right, with another win after coming back from this. But I think the motivation for him is different these days. I mean, he proved everyone wrong by doing that. I don't think he has anything else to prove.
You're right. And listen to what his friends on the tour are saying. His personality is totally different
from
what it was 15, 20 years ago.
No,
when he was so driven and so
he was a gunslinger. I mean, he didn't speak to people. I mean, he was. I'll try to watch my words here because you could characterize him in a pretty ghastly manner. But that's elite athletes at any level. Same for Michael Jordan. Same for Tom Brady, same for anyone who's ever been at the pinnacle of their career. They take no prisoners.
Oh, you're absolutely right. But I'm more optimistic than I have ever been. Things are going right. We're getting on track.
Well, good to hear. So is this your first shot or your second?
First shot.
Okay.
And we're getting it. We are getting it at a USavit, which is a small apothecary, and we signed up about 3 weeks ago, and we were 269 and 270 on the list. And I checked last week, we were 140.
Wow.
And now, a week from yesterday, I believe, or 2 weeks from yesterday, they say, come on in. And they are reserving vaccines for second shots.
Well, good deal. Well, I am happy to hear that. And I will tell you, Pat, maybe it's because this is the warmest day of the winter, the warmest day we've had since November where I live and most people in the South, a week after the deep freeze. It does feel like we are finally getting to the end. Meanwhile, we'll talk a little bit more about this story a little bit later on. But there are multiple stories coming out at this hour, and they are extremely negative toward former LSU head coach Les Miles, who is now at Kansas. Both the Baton Rouge Morning Advocate and USA Today, which has been all over the LSU's investigation, are out with a story about Les Miles perhaps cutting a deal with a young woman after being accused of sexually harassing her. We'll get to that story in a minute, but it is a whopper, to say the least. Les Miles offered a secret settlement to an LSU student. That's according to the Advocate. Meanwhile, almost simultaneous to that story, Kenny Jacoby, who we've had on this program a few times, Nancy Armour and Jessica Luther of USA Today are reporting similar things. I'll just read you the first paragraph of their story. Just 3 years before LSU fired him, head coach Les Miles weathered an internal investigation into allegations he sexually harassed student workers and made sexist comments about others, according to USA Today. At the time of the 2013 investigation, done quietly by an outside law firm, Miles was one of the most successful coaches in the country. And, of course, he was fired in 2016. USA Today has sued LSU for the records, and a lot of this is starting to come out. Exactly where this fits into the current investigation, and we are due any day now a report back from the council down there to the president, the outside counsel to the interim president. So that's a story we've all kept our eyes on. Right now, it looks like most of the shrapnel is landing on Les Miles, but it's a story certainly that is extremely interesting, and you have to wonder, what's going to happen out there at Kansas. I mean, Les Miles has already been somewhat of an embarrassment in terms of what he's done at KU, and now even more trouble has followed him around. We will take a break. We'll look ahead to some of the basketball games of this evening, including the big one in Fayetteville, all of that coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back, and a lot of basketball tonight. And we'll have it for you. And then, of course, SEC Now follows that right here. And we welcome you back. It's great to have you here. And we also, it's great to welcome back my good friend, Josh Bergini from the Sports Ticket out in Northwest Arkansas. Josh, man, first it was football. Even though the record doesn't indicate the level of excitement, it was exciting to see Arkansas get back on track. And now basketball, which has always been a hidden jewel in Fayetteville and the surrounding area. How are you doing? And describe the scene out there right now as we get ready for a meaningful basketball game in late February.
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Paul, and we're doing well here. Got about a foot of snow last week, which was obviously unusual for the Ozarks, but we're warming up, temps in the 60s, and ready for, as you said, a pretty big basketball game tonight. Kind of unbelievable to think about Arkansas Razorback hoops and how it's been all the way back to 1998, the last time that two top 25 teams were getting together at Bud Walton Arena. And when you think about Razorback basketball and how proud, as you mentioned, the folks are around here of this program, 23 years sounds like a really long time. But number 20, Arkansas, number 6, Alabama, we got ourselves a juggernaut of a matchup at Bud Walton Arena tonight.
Let's talk about Eric Musselman for a minute, because, you know, he was here the other day, and I don't know him that well. You guys know him a lot better, but there's just an enthusiasm around him. There's an excitement level. There's charisma. I know I'm lathering it up here, but it's impossible for me not to really like this guy. And that's before we even get to the court. And what's it been like to watch him transform this program?
Yeah, I actually heard him on your show just a couple weeks back, and I think you got to feel, once again, Paul, we've talked about this, me and you, his energy is palpable. I mean, he's a guy who loves the game of basketball. You know the story. He's a coach. His son, his dad, Bill, coached in the NBA for a really long time. And so Eric Musselman was born to be a coach, and the guy has worked at every level, Olympics, NBA, CBA for a long time, and obviously now at Arkansas as a head coach after 4 years in Nevada. I'll tell you, Paul, in just 2 years to make over the roster, not that it was, you know, necessarily in terrible shape when Mike Anderson left, but obviously it had slipped a little bit. And to watch Eric Musselman kind of combine the recruiting of freshmen with the transfer portal and something that obviously has become the name of the game in college hoops. He does a great job of blending transfers and freshmen, and this team has three true freshman accounts on and three big-time transfers accounts on. So he's done a really nice job of blending things together, and I think that's picked up the pace of rebuilding where they're headed to the tournament in year two, it looks like.
And JB, that was a situation with Anderson. His ties to the school are legendary. He was there during the greatest moments ever under Coach Richardson. And the program wasn't bad. It was just one of those programs you never could make up your mind as a fan. Are we going to make a run? Are we going to get in the tournament? Are we going to fall flat? We like Anderson. Those are the toughest calls. I mean, sometimes it's pretty easy. You just fire the coach because he's terrible. But that was not the case, was it?
No, it wasn't. And I think you're on the money there. It's very rare, as you know, Paul, in the sports business, for anybody to leave a job on really good terms with an employer. It's tough. It's so competitive. You're all striving for a common purpose. Then if things don't get out, big money, lawyers involved, not hard for there to be some long-term residual feelings. But that's not the case with Mike Anderson here. You're absolutely right. Mike Anderson, such a likable guy, ran a classy program, You know, there were no rumors of any ill-doing while he was here. He did things the right way, but he never broke through in the NCAA tournament. And I don't mean to make it like it's all about that, but you know as well as I do, when it comes to college basketball, if you're not making a deep run in March, you know, and you're not a part of that thing, it's gonna have some long-term consequences. Mike Anderson, for all the good he did in 8 years here and won a lot of games, but not consistently ranked and was never able to break through to the second round of the dance. So Arkansas hadn't made the Sweet 16 in 25 years, and that still sticks in the craw of a lot of Hoops fans around here. But no, Mike Anderson remains a pretty popular figure. I think when you're connected to Nolan Richardson and that championship team in 94, that tie will always bind around here.
JB, before you get out of here, we still get calls all the time here about the Razorbacks, and I still can't get over that Sam Pittman's team only won three games. It seemed like five or six. I know it probably should have been five or six, but give us the read as recruiting is now over, spring is about to begin. What does it look like?
You know, it's a lot that has turned for the better. That's for sure, for Razorback football. I think you're right to point out that it was just a 3-7 season. So for all the excitement that Hog fans are feeling, let's not act like this thing has gotten to the top of the mountain yet. There's a long way to go. Now, the Auburn game, you and I have talked about that. That was veritably a fourth win. And a couple other games down the stretch that, you know, if they just grabbed another score or two here or there, they'd have beaten LSU, they'd have beaten Missouri, but could have, would have, should have, right? So 3-7 last year, fighting through the pandemic. Sam Pittman, I thought, did a great job at least reinstilling some confidence, some swagger, a sense of belief into a Razorback program that was flatlining, for lack of a better phrase, for the last few years. So it was a good first year. It was one step, but a long way to go. And obviously we'll catch up with Coach Moore here in the next few days as we get ready for spring football that's coming up around the corner. But Arkansas did add Missouri as a home game in Fayetteville, did a little maneuvering there. So a chance to have an extra home game should help. And look, they'll be aiming for a bowl next year, and it's good to have a pulse again at the least, Paul.
Hey, by the way, we had Ross Bjork on yesterday, and there were so many other serious issues going on. I didn't have time to get to it. But what am I hearing about the Arkansas A&M game changing sites? That game has been in Jerry's world for many, many years.
Yeah, it has, unfortunately, for Razorback fans, because it's become a house of horrors. It seems like I come on with you, you know, maybe it's like an annual rite of passage, and the Hogs find a way to lose no matter how good it looks. They've lost eight straight in that series. And, yeah, there's been talk for a while about moving it back to campuses. A&M was obviously a team that didn't mind it being in Jerry World the last couple of years. You know, we spoke with Hunter Yurecek about that very same question just about a week ago, the Arkansas athletic director. And I asked him what the future was for that game. Do you see it being on campus again, considering it's a conference game? And he said, absolutely. You know, the contract runs through 2024. So you still have a few years left to go. But I think the plan is moving forward after that to have the game back at Kyle Field and at Razorback Stadium. And maybe Arkansas will continue to use Jerry World, if Uncle Jerry will continue to allow them to, for a non-con game, for kind of a showcase non-con game every couple of years. But given how competitive the SEC is, Arkansas needs that game on campus sooner rather than later, Paul.
JB, thanks. Great to talk to you again. Hello to all my friends out there. Sorry we missed this year, but we saved that booth for us at our favorite Chinese restaurant. I'm coming back soon.
It's a pleasure, Paul. Thank you, sir.
You got it. JB from the ticket down in over in Northwest Arkansas. Appreciate it very much. We are heading to a break. The athletic director at Notre Dame coming up here in a few minutes. We'll update you on the Les Miles story, where now multiple media reports are saying that LSU conducted an investigation into allegations Miles sexually harassed student workers and made sexist comments about others. It did not seem to change his employment status at the time. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of
ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome you back, and with some more frustrating news from the SEC basketball world, Ross Bjork telling us yesterday that Texas A&M had finally gotten back after missing a number of games, and then on the eve of the next game, I believe it was against Kentucky, another positive case which caused that postponement, and now the SEC has just announced that the A&M-Missouri game for Saturday has also been postponed. So the Aggies are really struggling to get through COVID. Let's hope for the best as we get close to the SEC basketball tournament in a couple of weeks. Let's get back to the calls here. And if you'd like to give us a ring, we are still following the breaking story out of Baton Rouge involving Les Miles. And it is a nasty one, as we have told you. Two different reports, one in The Advocate, the other in USA Today, both with serious allegations. And just for some context, this is all part of the investigation into the culture down there that is currently a big issue. According to The Advocate, Les Miles offered a secret settlement to an LSU student. That has now come out. And then at the same time, or almost at the same time, the secondary report by the team of investigators who have been doing most of the work into the Title IX investigation, saying that 3 years before LSU fired him, that's not Les texting me, by the way, 3 years before LSU fired him, he weathered an internal investigation into allegations that he sexually harassed student workers and made sexist comments. Now, at the time, Joe Oliva was the athletic director down there. He is no longer there, so this is really on his watch. Versus the current athletic director, who was not there at the time, was at Texas A&M. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Let's get back to the calls. And Palmer is up next in Georgia. Palmer, go right ahead.
Yes, Paul, how you doing this afternoon?
We are doing great. Thank you for calling.
No, I'm just talking about Tom Crean, Georgia basketball. I'm a big Georgia whatever sport. Anyway, I was just wondering, I know what he did at Marquette and what he did at Indiana after
right.
3 years. Now, his third year at Georgia, and I just don't see the talent coming up to where it needs to be. And you know, I'm just wondering, where do they go? I mean if Crean doesn't make it, well, I mean, he ain't gonna hire Hugh Durham again. I mean, I'm just wondering.
Well, you know what's interesting obviously he had the number one player in the draft last year, but they still did not put it all together. You know, what's frustrating about Georgia is they're able to win big games. They won the game last night. They won the game a week or two ago against Missouri. They have won some amazing games, and then they just but they're not consistent. And I mean Crean is his reputation as a recruiter is unmatched by very many people in the game, but. It is time, I would agree, to start putting a representative team on the court. This is third year. I'm trying to remember if it's second or third year. I think it's his third year.
Third year.
Yeah.
His third year. I mean, normally in his fourth year, especially at Indiana, that's where he turned it around. And, of course, he had Wade at Marquette.
But yeah, I mean, it does help.
Oh, it certainly does help.
But Palmer, I would give him a shot. I still think I like where the program is headed. I just would like to see it get there a little faster. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. How about Taylor in South Carolina? Hey, Taylor, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. I don't know if you heard yesterday the Gamecocks got a big safety out of Hallandale, Florida. Anthony Rose. And I wanted to talk to you about this because this is a big deal because our D-back coach that was at Florida is now at South Carolina. And this is our first big one that he's pulled out of there. And he's going to pull many, many more. And I think Beamer's class this year is going to be really good. I just want to know what you kind of think about that.
Yeah, I haven't followed what he's done lately since signing day, but that's what Shane Beamer's all about. He got hired because he was known as a fantastic recruiter, and for the Gamecocks to be successful, he has to be that. There's no getting around it. He has to recruit at an enormously higher level than Will Muschamp was able to do. Thank you for the call. Thank you very, very much. And Parker is up next. Parks is up next in Atlanta. My eyesight's going on me. Hey, go right ahead, Parks.
Hi, Paul. I just wanted to talk to you about my Ole Miss Rebels and where you see them sitting on the bubble for the tournament. Obviously, we've had huge wins against Tennessee and then a sweep against Mizzou. But some big time losses, like just losing to Mississippi State at home. So,
well, I thought last night, and I was really following that game closely. I thought that scrubbed away the bad taste of the Mississippi State loss. Now, I don't think it completely obliterated it from the radar because that was a painfully difficult loss for a team that had gotten on the bubble. I think they have more work to do, and I'm not really sure. I looked at their schedule this morning. They don't have, at least immediately, I don't think any really quality games ahead, do they?
No, so we just got Vanderbilt and Kentucky coming up. So realistically, they could win out, which I believe would sit them at a pretty good position.
Yeah, no, by the way, where is the Kentucky game? Is that at home?
Kentucky game is at home.
Okay. Don't start claiming that Kentucky is a win right now because Kentucky is has become a very dangerous team. Cade is up next in Louisville. Hey, Cade.
Hey, Paul, can you hear me?
I can. You sound great.
I really think this I'm a Kentucky fan. I really think this Kentucky team has taken a turn since the loss to Arkansas and the win over Auburn. And I think they look very good against Tennessee as well. I was going to ask if you think – if they continue to improve, that they are a legitimate threat to win the SEC tournament?
Yes, I do. The idea of saying that 3 weeks ago would have just, I would have been ejected out of this chair. But, I'll give Cal credit. In spite of everything, and I mean everything, he has hung this team together. We're going to talk about that a little bit later with Mike Morgan. And I think they are back in contention again. Their SEC record is fantastic. And that's the number that I think the committee will look at. Yeah, sure, they'll look at some of the early games, but the committee is far more interested in what you were doing now than what you were doing back in November and December. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. It's been a busy one so far. And the athletic director at Notre Dame coming up here in a few minutes. We look forward to talking to him.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We welcome you back. Jack Swarbrick, the athletic director at Notre Dame, coming up here in a few minutes. And at the bottom of the next hour, we will head down to Baton Rouge for the latest on the investigation into the program. The latest report coming from both The Advocate and USA Today involved Les Miles, who, of course, was fired 4.5 years ago. And many today are wondering why he wasn't fired earlier. We'll get to see if we can get to the bottom of that coming up here in just about 45 minutes. Swarbrick coming up here in a short period of time. Mike Morgan, who has been covering the SEC basketball for many, many years, will join us a little bit later on. Let's get back to your phone calls right now at 855-242-7285. And let's check in with Bob, who is up next. Hey, Bob.
Hey, could you tell me about the status of Cooper for Auburn? Is he going to be out for the rest of the year, or is he going to come back at all? And could you talk about Alabama, Arkansas for tonight?
Yeah, let me double check on him. And you know, last night was a really tough loss for Auburn. Certainly, it was a must-win game for the Gators. But I think ultimately, this is going down as a lost season for Bruce Pearl. You know, for the school opting out of the NCAA basketball tournament, you can come up with as many ways as you want to find excitement and motivation, but at the end, that's what drives every college basketball player. And when you can't go, which was self-imposed by the university, it takes the starch out of your program. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Matt is up next. Hey, Matt. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi. Good afternoon, my friend, Mr. Paul Feinbaum. Before I talk about what I want to talk about with you, did you get my picture on Instagram I sent you?
I'm not sure I did, Matt. You sent it to me?
Yes, I sent it to you on Instagram, my picture to you. I don't want to know if you got it before I talk about Texas A&M football.
Yeah, no, I did not get it. I'm trying to – I'll ask – I do not personally run our Instagram account, so it's possible I missed it.
Okay.
Well, by the way, we are going to appoint a bipartisan commission, Matt, consisting of Danny Brams, Jamari, and a producer to be named later to investigate exactly where your Instagram post is right now. What was it a picture of?
It's a picture of me. I lost a little bit of weight, and you guys always want to see what I look like.
Yeah.
So I'm giving you an answer. This is what I look like.
Okay.
I'm sending you.
How much weight have you lost?
I'm down to 1962.
1962. That's a lot of weight, Matt.
I'm not very good at saying numbers, Paul. I guess 190. I can't say it correctly on the scale. I'm sorry about that.
Okay. 190. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yes.
Well, Matt, I will tell you, I've weighed that in my life, and I'm glad to see you losing weight. How are you doing it, by the way?
I'm doing pretty good, Paul. I'm doing really good. I'm trying to improve my reading every single day to better myself, then go back to school and live on my own. And like I said, I'm holding true to my prediction, Paul. A&M's going to go 11-1 this year. They're going to take the next step, and we're finally going to get the respect we earn nationally across the country. I think we're going to beat Alabama this year, Paul. I'm not going to say we are, but I got one thing else to say to Arkansas fans, Paul.
What's that?
Arkansas fans, get prepared to get beat again.
Hey, thanks, Matt. Continued best wishes on your diet. Bruce is up next in South Carolina. Hey, Bruce.
Yes, sir. That's a fine bomb. My main peeve today to talk to you about is why on any of the ESPN related stations we can't get any of the South Carolina and Clemson baseball games on this weekend.
Well, I'll do my best to try to answer, Bruce. I know those games are available on digital, but here's the problem right now. The basketball season is still going on, and until basketball ends, which will be in, let's see, 2 weeks from now, it's difficult to find availabilities to you also have gymnastics. You have gymnastics going on Friday night as well. So the baseball games ultimately will be on. They'll be on in great number. But, you know, the baseball season starts so early and it overlaps the gymnastics season, the volleyball season, and the men's and women's the women's softball and the men and the men's and women's basketball is what I'm trying to say.
Mr. Feinbaum, you can put the Braves Stadium in the state anywhere without COVID constraints and fill it up with that game three straight days.
Yeah, where is the game, by the way?
The first one's at Clemson. The second one, I think, is in Greenville. The third one's in Carolina.
Okay. I wish I had a better answer for you. I'm just a worker here. I don't make those decisions. Thanks for the call. We'll be right back. Jack Swarbrick is coming up here in the next hour.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.